Good morning. Today's daf in Gittin Chav Gimel. We're on the Mishnah, on the very bottom, Chav Beis Amud Beis, continuing our discussion regarding the writing of a get. A very basic parak over here, the second parak. A little bit the beginning of the parak continued on the discussion of Befanei Nechtam. But now, as we are into now the second parak, so we're just, we are navigating through some very basic halachas regarding the writing of the get, basics. What ink am I using? What paper am I using? What can I write on? What can't I write on? Who can write it? So that's where we are today. Today's the who. The question of who can be the writer of the get. Now keep in mind, right, before we start with the Mishnah, a couple things that we just need to know in order to navigate here through the second parak. When we're talking about the writing of the get, the ksivas haget, so the Torah's instructions is very clear, the kust of law, and you're going to be writing the get for her. Okay, the simplest way to interpret the pasuk in the Torah is that the husband's writing the get. Okay, not all husbands are capable of writing a get, and even though the Torah's instructions are that he has to write the get for her, but obviously what he could do is that he could delegate. So he doesn't have to be the writer of the get. In other words, he could have somebody write it for him, and in fact, that's of course what we do. We have somebody else write the get. But the part that we all need to know, we've heard this already numerous times, but we need to know again, is that when the Torah says because of law, it means that the ksiva has to be lishma. That when you write the get, it has to be specifically for him and for her. It has to be lishma. Now, even though we say that, and I'm trying to say it as clearly as possible, we have a machlokas tanaim that we've entertained, that we've engaged in numerous times, and we're going to do so again today. Yesterday, we got to see this machlokas two times over in the daf, and today we're going to see it again. And that is the machlokas between Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Meir. Let's start with Rebbe Elazar. According to Rebbe Elazar the Tana, so when the Torah says that the cost of law, you're going to be writing it, what is that going on? It's going on the text of the get. The ksiva saget is the 12 lines of this husband's divorcing his wife, right? You're allowed to marry whoever you want. There is absolutely no connection anymore between me and you, a total severance of ties between husband and wife. The ksiva saget is what the Torah is describing. What about people signing on the document according to Rebbe Elazar? There is no need for people to sign on the document. Meaning the chasima, according to Rebbe Elazar, is simply unnecessary. Now, it's done as a takana de rabbanan, but min haTorah, it's not required. So what is kores? What is now going to be the severance between husband and wife? Eide mesire karte. After now, you write the get, and the ksiva l'shma is the writing of the get. So now what you do is you give that get over in front of two witnesses, the eide mesire and the eide mesire kores. That is shitas Rebbe Elazar. And now we turn our attention to Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Meir, no. What is kores? What is creating severance between husband and wife? So it's the chasima, it's the signatories. Meaning, according to Rabbi Meir, when the Torah says vikas of law, and you're going to write for her, so it's, and I pointed this out already a number of times. It's a little bit odd. According to Rabbi Meir, even though you're obviously writing the text, in other words, it's a paragraph, it's a simple paragraph describing how we are no longer married. It's it. But according to Rabbi Meir, that's not the ksiva that the Torah was describing. It's a heksher mitzvah. It's obviously required, meaning if you don't have witnesses, the witnesses have to sign on to something, but nevertheless, the ksiva is just simply a heksher mitzvah. According to Rabbi Meir, what's the kust of law? The kust of law is going on the chasima seidim. When the witnesses sign on the get itself, on the shtar get, so then and only then is husband and wife going to be divorced, and that is what is effecting the divorce between husband and wife. Eide chasime karte. That is the shita of Rabbi Meir. Now, that means that according to Rabbi Meir, so, and we've expressed this already numerous times, but again, the more we say it, the more we're all going to digest it. That means that according to Rabbi Meir, let's say the get was written, automatically, right? ChatGPT wrote the get. I couldn't have said that example a year ago.
Okay.
Okay, so ChatGPT wrote the get. Okay, so new? So according to Rabbi Meir, so that you print it out, and now you have you have two witnesses sign it. Is that good? According to Rabbi Meir, it's fine. But the ksiva has to be lishma. According to Rabbi Meir, the ksiva is not going on the text. According to Rabbi Meir, the ksiva is going on the chasima sa'idim. According to Rabbi Meir, that would be fine. If I asked Rabbi Elazar same question, Rabbi Elazar would say that's crazy. No, it's no good, right? ChatGPT is not a person. Doesn't have das. can infuse kavana. I know others would argue on that point, but that's fine. In other words, according to Rabbi Elazar, it's no good because the ksiva lishma has to be on the ksivas haget. Okay, So those are really, hopefully I'm being articulate over here. Those are really two different opinions in terms of what is the ksiva that the Torah is describing when the Torah describes the ksiva saget. Good. With all that stated, that was a somewhat more of a lengthier introduction, but it's a necessary one. With all that stated, let's start now our Mishnah. So the Mishnah makes point number one, and that is, who could write a get? Anybody. Anybody can write a get. People who don't have das, so they are allowed to write a get. So that's point number one. Point number two of the Mishnah. A woman, she could write the get. Okay, now we already learned earlier that when we describe the woman writing the get, so what she's going to do afterwards is she is going to have to be maknet over to the husband. Remember, just a couple days ago, we had a discussion in the Gemara. Does she know that this needs to be done? And the Gemara ultimately said, yeah, she knows. She knows. In other words, she can't be the owner of the get. The get has to be owned by the husband because he's the one effecting. He's the maknet. So fine. So she writes the paperwork. She is maknet the paperwork over to him. He's now the owner of this shtar, this get. And then he's going to be divorcing her. The whole point of the Mishnah is that it's okay if the woman writes it. That would be fine. And Vaish Kosev is Shovro. And the same thing regarding the Shover, meaning the receipt, right? When the husband pays off the ksuva, and now we have full satisfaction of the monetary obligation between husband and wife. So now what's going to happen is that she's going to write him a receipt. So the Mishnah's point is very simple. She doesn't have to physically have to write the receipt. He could write the receipt. And again, same thing. He'll give her the receipt. He'll be mocking over her the receipt. And then when he finally pays off the entire ksuva, she'll hand him the receipt. Okay. Shein kiyam aget ala b'chos mav. And then the Mishnah concludes with the following. You know that when it comes to kiyam aget, what is the battery power of the get? The battery power of the get is chos mav. It's the signers. Meaning the writing of the get doesn't matter who's writing the get, because the kiyam is coming about through the chosmav, through those people who are signing the get. Okay. The Gemara is going to start off with a really simple question. Meaning, in point number one of the Mishnah, what did we learn together? That who could write the get? Even somebody who does not have das. And the Gemara says, now, that's funny. V'hala b'nei den in who? Well, how exactly are they going to be writing the get? They don't have das. And you need das when you write a get. So Amr of Huna... So what's going to happen over here is that you're going to have someone standing over, in other words, a gadol, an adult who obviously has das, so he's going to be standing over the cheresh, over the shote, over the katan, and he's going to be supervising. And what we're learning right now, to talk about a chiddush, is that over here, this supervision will be able to do what? The supervision over here is able to infuse lishma into the writer of the get. Okay. That's a big idea. Meaning, what's the problem with the Kherishot of Vekatan writing the get? They don't have das, they can't provide lishma into the get. And now when you have an adult who's supervising, so what he's able to do now is inject lishma. Even though obviously he's not lifting a finger. All he's just doing is he's providing a supervisory role. Nevertheless, he's able to inject lishma just by him standing there and watching.
Okay. Maybe the writer doesn't have to have lishma, but somebody has to have lishma.
Okay, so right.
He has to say it,
but in other words, but he's not writing it. Right. But he has to say it, but he's not writing it. Yeah, right. He's correct. He's coaching lishma 100%. But ultimately he's not writing. And so good. So in other words, then there's much, much to discuss. I write the extensive note over here and notes in the back. And there's much to discuss regarding this idea that, meaning, Gadol Omed Al Gabav, by Shechita, the Gemara in Chulin. So you need an adult to see. But over there, you need an adult to see just to see that the Shechita was done correctly. Meaning over here, the adult supervision is doing much more than just simply saying, hey, it was done correctly. In other words, now we're able to also transfer das from the supervisor to the one who's actually writing. That is a chiddush, but good. That's why we're here. Okay. Now, Amar le Rav Nachman el Meata, Ove Kocham v'Yisrael Medal Gabav Hachinami, Dekasher. So good. So we just learned together that what the supervisor is able to do is inject da'as, inject lishma to the writing of the get. So Rav Nachman says, if that's true, Rav Nachman here is conversing with Rav Huna. If in fact that's true, so let me ask you a simple question. How about a guy writing the get? That should be fine. Now you'll know, conspicuously absent in our Mishnah is a guy. The guy's not mentioned in the Mishnah. There's a reason why the guy's not mentioned in the Mishnah. Because he can't write a get. But now, what a good question. If Omid al-Gabav works regarding Chereshot v'Katan who don't have Da'as, so why can't Omid al-Gabav work by a guy? It's a Gemara's question. Amalei Rav Nachman el amiata bovi kochavim v'Yisrael Omid al-Gabav hachinami dekasher. So that should be kasher v'chitem hachinami, and maybe you'll tell me, yeah, that's right. That is right. V'hatani will enter the b'risa bovi kochavim pasol. And meanwhile, we have a brisa that says that a guy can't write it. And presumably, even if you have an omen al-gabav, the guy can't write it. So, ovi kochav l'dati d'nafshe avad. So the Gemara says that when it comes to a guy, l'dati d'nafshe avad. So now, at this point in time, we're going to assume what Rav Nachman is saying in terms of answering his own question is that the guy is incapable of lishma. But Rav Nachman spends a moment thinking about it, and he says, I want to revisit my explanation. Hadamar Rav Nachman lav milsi hidamri. So Rav Nachman says, I'm gonna take it back, and I wanna think this through. So the midika pasul lelo v'kocham l'inyan hava michlal dilin k'siva kasher. So consider the following. So we're gonna learn a Mishnah. The Mishnah coming up says that when in terms of the delivery of the get, a guy is going to be puzzled. Now, if I look at the two Mishnah side by side, meaning the upcoming Mishnah says that a guy can't deliver a get, which would seem to indicate that anything short of that, the guy can have involvement, meaning a guy could write a get. So now, Michlal Delinyin Ksiva Kasher. So now, if I'm Midaik in the Mishnayos, the Mishnayos would seem now to indicate that a guy can write a get. So Rav Nachman over here is in a little bit of a struggle with himself regarding whether a guy can or cannot write a get. Obviously, with the Omid al-Gabav, with the Gadol Omid al-Gabav, coaching him up, but would that even work? So at first Rav Nachman says, no, it can't work, because a guy simply, he can't inject Lishma, even if coached up. And meanwhile, if I'm a dyke in the Mishnayos, it sounds like a guy can write. So v'hatanya ovi kochavim pasul, and meanwhile the Gemara still struggling with whether or not a goy can or cannot write a get. We have a brisa that says that a goy is disqualified from writing a get, and presumably the brisa over here is even with a gadol and a gabav. So the Gemara says, "Ihi Rebbe Lazihi damra edim misiri karte." So the Gemara says, "Okay, that brisa that you just cited, so that brisa is a Rebbe Lazar brisa." In other words, again, when you have mishnayos and you have brisas, and they are anonymous. So now it always gives us the option of either assigning it to Rabbi Lazar or assigning it to Rabbi Meir. And within now that flexibility, so now when I have these brises that seem to go against what we're saying in our Mishnah, so the division is going to be, I'm going to say very simple. It's not so simple, but the division is just simply say, looking at the various Mishnahs and brises, oh, that's Rabbi Meir. Oh, that's Rabbi Lazar. So the Gemara says, "Ahi Rabbi Lazar Yidamar Eidem Misiri Karte." So that brisa that says that a guy can't write, so that's a Rabbi Lazar brisa. And remember, according to Rabbi Lazar, when the Torah's instructions, when the Torah's directive is v'kasav law, what is that ksiva going on? The ksiva is going on the actual text of the get, and it will be in a ksiva l'shma. So according to Rabbi Lazar, now that the ksiva has to be done l'shma va'avadei v'kochav ma'adaita d'nafshei kaved. Now, here's what we're all going to agree. Meaning that once we now have a Rav Elazar position of the ksiva, which is going on, the nusach haget, that can't be done by a guy. Meaning a guy is so mufka from the parsha of Gittin that he's just simply, even with coaching, even with supervision, even with Gadol Omid al-Gabav, a guy simply cannot provide the lishma requirement that is necessary within the ksiva haget. Okay. So what we have in the Gemara over here is Rav Nachman really struggling with whether or not a guy can or cannot write a get. And presumably what comes out now from the Gemara's end discussion is talui, depends. Depends whether we hold like Rabbi Lazar or we hold like Rabbi Meir. Meaning if I hold like Shitas Rav Meir, what does that mean? Shitas Rav Meir would say that that a goy could write a get. Don't I require lishma? Yeah, you require lishma. That's on the chasima. That's on the signatures. But in terms of the ksivas aget, that would be, you know, the ksivas aget can be produced and manufactured even without das, even without lishma. Good. So the so if you want to be medayik in the Mishnayos, then we did. Meaning Rav Nachman was medayik in the Mishnayos, that a goy would be okay, would be acceptable to write a get. And again, by the way, it's a tricky part in today's daf. Meaning, how you medayik that in the Mishnayos? Our Mishnah conspicuously leaves out the goy. But what you have to do is that you have to contrast it to the upcoming Mishnah, which says that a goy can't bring the get. And so you're medayik in that later Mishnah that it sounds like a goy can't bring it, but a goy can write it. Okay. Anyway, so from the Mishnayos, it's meduyik that the goy can write it. Meanwhile, we have braises that say the goy cannot write it. So Rav Nachman's basic approach is, depends on who I'm asking. If I'm asking Rav Elazar, goy cannot write it because he fails in das. He can't inject lishma into the ksivas again. Meanwhile, if you're Rav Meir, a goy can write it. Why? Because according to Rav Meir, the ksiva doesn't have to be done lishma. Only the chasima has to be done lishma. Good. Ad kan. Now, according to Rashi, the next words of the Gemara, Amar of Nachman, Omer Hayo Rabbi Meir. So Rashi does give two pshatim over here. I'm going to go with the Rashi's first pshat. This is a new sentence. In other words, we finished off the previous discussion. So Rav Nachman still talking, but new point. Omer Hayo Rabbi Meir, Afila Matzah Ba'ashba, V'chasmo, V'nasna La'kasha. Okay, so, according to Rav Meir, where the ksiva, the kasav la is going on the chasima, not on the ksiva saget. So let's say you find the get in the garbage. Okay? Someone used the get. Okay, and now I say that, by the way, that can't be. In other words, you know I'm wrong. Because if somebody used the get, that means that it was already signed. And if it was already signed, so you can't now go ahead and re-sign it. I don't think it works. So matzah ba'ashba, finding it in the garbage, means that it was a half-baked job. Meaning somebody wrote the text of the get, and for whatever reason, decided, no, I'm not going to use it.
It had the
Torah. Okay. In other words, it didn't have signatures.
No, but it had Tosef
and
Torah.
Yeah, it had both. And it happens to be, correct. And it happens to be the name of the husband is my name and the name of the wife is my wife's name. Yeah.
But I thought we had another story where if the husband found a get with his name and his wife's name in the city, you couldn't use it.
Remember? Right, correct. So now everything starts with who are we following? Are you following Rabbi Elazar or are you following Rabbi Meir? Right now we're following Rabbi Meir. He says it. In other words, Omer Haya Rabbi Meir. So you have to start off with whose sheet are we within? Right now we're within the sheet of Rabbi Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir. So you find the get in the Ashba. Okay? So it's got all the information on it. It doesn't have signatures on it. And now, but obviously who produced it? I have no idea. And it don't matter according to Rabbi Meir. So afila matzah ba'ashba v'chasmo. So nasna l'kasher. So as long as the chasima was done, now obviously with kasher edim who are now have the kavana of signing it lishma, so that would work. Okay, good. Now, although Rav Nachman is saying this is like what I'm saying right now is a big deal, right? Afilu is telling me that, you know, this is a chiddush within the sheet of Rav Meir. So Eitzva Rav LaRav Nachman V'Kasav La Lishma. Okay, so now we're gonna rattle off a couple of very simple and basic questions. But hopefully, at this point in time, you now know that when we have the word V'Kasav La, it really depends who you're asking. If I'm asking Rav Elazar, that's on the Nusach Haget. If I'm asking Rabbi Meir, that's on the Chasima. So every time we have a brisa, we're gonna see this three times in a row right now. Every time I have a brisa that says the word V'Kasav, and I'm Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir would just simply shrug his shoulders and tell you, that's going on the chasima. Let's do this quickly. V'kasav la lishma. So my lav ksiva seger lo chasima seidim. Okay. Question number one. Isn't the kasav going on the writing of the get? No, it's going on the signatures. Eitzvei Rava, let's do this a second time. Kol get shenichtav shelo lishum isha pasul. So if the get is not written for the sake of this particular woman, it's not a good get. So, Ema, Shenechtam, Shelo Lishma, Isha Pasol. Yeah, but what the Bryce is really is referring to is talking about the Chasima, not the Ksiva. And finally, number three, Eitzvei Kishu Koso, Kilo Koso Lishma. So, when he writes it, he's writing Lishma, My Love Kishu Koso, the Toref, Lishma, Kilo Koso, the Tofis Lishma. So, and isn't the point of the Braisa that the writing of the Toref is like writing of the Tofes? Tofes is the standard text that's written in every get. Toref is the personal information of his name, her name, and the cities in which they reside. So the Gemara says, lo kishu, chosmo lishma, kilu kosva lishma. No, it's going on the chasima. And once the chasima is done lishma, the rest of the get is also considered like, as if it's done lishma. Okay. So what do we, excuse me, what do we have so far? So Rav Meir, as Rav Nachman understands it, is that the writing of the get does not have to be done at all lishma. In other words, you just simply, you find it, you discover the get. Who wrote it? I don't know. Artificial intelligence wrote it. It don't matter. In other words, according to Rav Meir, as long as the chasima is done lishma, you have a kosher get. And by the way, all three brises that we just cited, right? We could just simply go about it in an entirely different approach. Meaning, you cited all those brises as a kasha on Rav Nachman's understanding of Rav Meir. And then, here's one brisa, here's the second brisa, here's the third brisa. So either one approach is that we'll just simply reinterpret the brises, which is what we did. Alternatively, all those brises you cited, those are Rebbe Lazar brises. Again, they're anonymous brises. So authorship of those brises can be attributed to Rebbe Lazar. Once you do that, so then leave me alone, says Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, I'm explaining Rav Meir right now. Right? I'm right now in the sheet of Rav Meir. You have a brisa that's going like the sheet of Rebbe Lazar? That's great. I'm not talking Rebbe Lazar right now. I'm talking Rebbe Meir. Okay. Rebbe Zrika, Rebbe Zrika, I'm a Rav Yochanan, Eino Torah. So Rebbe Zrika says, B'shem Rav Yochanan, Eino Torah. Meaning, this approach that we just gave, that all these braces are going like Shitas Rebbe Lazar, and leave me alone? So the Gemara says, B'shem Rav Yochanan, I'm not buying it. Right? Eino Torah is a very strong comment. Right? Rashi explains over here, Eino Torah means, I'm simply not buying it. Right? In other words, don't pass it off as any kind of emes. It's not true. So, my Eino Torah, Amar Rabbi Abba, Kano Diacha She'in Koach Lishma. The Rebbe Meir, he, Damar Eide Chasim Akartai. So as far as our Mishnah is concerned, so the Mishnah says that they're not capable of lishma, meaning the Cheresh Otevikatan mentioned in our Mishnah, so they're not capable of lishma, and our Mishnah is going like Rebbe Meir, and Rebbe Meir's of the position that Eide Chasim Ikarte, which means now that. When Rav Yochanan is looking at our Mishnah says, who can write the get Cherishot V'katan? And what's the point of our Mishnah? Well, actually, let's start off with a more basic question. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Right? Remember, every time you go into a Tana, a Mishnah or a Braisa, you have to start with the question of who is authoring it? Because if the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, which Rav Yochanan is about to teach us, so then, what's the point of the Mishnah? The point of the Mishnah is that I don't need Lishma. Meaning, Chei Rishot V'katan, they're writing the get. What about Lishma? The answer is, unnecessary. Why? Because our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. Now, mind you, by the way, this is where today's daf gets a little bit confusing. Meaning, immediately after the Mishnah, what do? We ask exactly this question. Lishma? And we said, Gadol Omer Agabav. Well, he's supervised. And the supervision provides Lishma. Meaning, that Q&A of the beginning of the sugya of today's daf, right? What was the Gemara trying to do? Inject lishma into the ksiva. Now Rav Yochanan is going back to our Mishnah, revisiting the Mishnah, but Rav Yochanan is saying that our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. Huh. And then if that's true, do I need a Gadol Omer Agabav? The answer, of course, is no. I don't need anything. Meaning I don't need das, I don't need, as long as it's written, that's good. What about the Kasavla? According to Rav Meir, that's going on the Chasim HaSeidim, and therefore, I don't need anything when it comes to the Ksivas HaGet. So the Gemara says, V'am Rav HaBarachan, I'm Rav Yochanan, Rebbe Lazar, he. Meanwhile, it's confusing because Rav Yochanan elsewhere, on another occasion, said, that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Lazar, not like Rabbi Meir. So I'm writing in Avali Badi Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, no. Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan had, it was unclear what his position was. And then when I asked the Talmid of Rabbi Yochanan, so yesh v'yesh, I get some Amoraim telling me that according to Rabbi Yochanan, our Mishnah is falling like Rabbi Meir, and I get some telling us that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. Right? Okay. Good. Okay, Adkan. All right, so ends the first sugya of today's daf. So, quickly, recapping. So, our Mishnah taught us that Cher Shota V'Katan can go ahead and write a get. Okay? And parenthetically, the Mishnah also says that a woman can write a get as well. But again, she has to be mocked in the paper over to the husband, who then is going to give it back to her. Okay, fine. But the first point of the Mishnah is really where we spent all of our time discussing the first half of today's daf. Cher Shota V'Katan can write a get. I need Lishma. So now, after the entire sugya is over, so literally now there are two different viewpoints of how would we learn our Mishnah. Either our Mishnah is a product of Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar says that the ksiva has to be done Lishma. Cher Shot V'Katan, where's the Lishma? The answer is, Gadol Omer Agabav. Good. And that's what we saw in the beginning. And now at the end of the sugya, we saw that at least according to one version of Rav Yochanan, one Misorah of Rav Yochanan, our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. Our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, therefore, who could write the get? Anybody. It could be manufactured by Cheresh HaTzvi Katan, and I don't need Gadol Omer Agabav. Let's go even further. It could be written by a guy. That would be fine as well. If our Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. Okay. Hakok Sherem Lahavi is a get, Chutz Mei Cheresh HaTzvi Katan V'sumavo V'kochavim. Okay, and now we're up to this next Mishnah. We're on Chav Gimel Amid Aleph. We're at the Mishnah, about two-thirds down. And that is that now delivery of the get. So who could deliver the get? So so anybody can, right? Except, with notable exception to Cheresh V'Katan, a blind person, and no V'Kochavim. Now, by the way, we mentioned this earlier, meaning how are you medayik that a guy can write a get? Because of this Mishnah. Because the Mishnah over here now first introduces a guy. Which means that if I just simply take the two Mishnayos, the first Mishnah we did today, the second Mishnah we're doing right now, put them side by side, the diuk is actually pretty clear. The guy can't deliver the get, but the guy could write it. Okay, so you see that was what we did earlier this morning. Anyway, so Cher Shota V'Katan and Asuma and a guy cannot be delivering the get. Kibal HaKatan. So vihigdil cherish v'nispakach suma v'nispatach shota v'nishtapa ovikocham v'niskayir pasul. Now let's say you gave the get to deliver, but to the person who currently cannot be a shliach, and then he grows into becoming a shliach. Now by katan it's very simple, and that is he just simply grows up. Right. In other words, he gave him the get when he was 12, and then a year later he delivers it. So, and in every one of the cases, meaning he was somebody who was not a bar hachi, who becomes a bar hachi. So the Mishnah's point is that in all these cases, the get is now good. Because in order for his shlichus to work, he must be a bar hachi at the time when he received it. Ava, pikech v'niskarish v'chazav v'nispakech, pasuach v'nistamah v'chazav v'nispatach, shapu v'nishata v'chazav v'nishtapa kasher. Now, what if he goes from being a bar hachi to being a not bar hachi to becoming a bar hachi? So that means now follow over here the stock prices, if you will. In other words, when he received the get, he was somebody who was he had intelligence. He was of sound mind, and then somewhere in transit, so he loses it. Now it could be whatever we described. Now obviously, by the way, once he becomes a gadol, you can't be a gadol, then go back to being a katan, being a gadol again. So obviously, that example is off the table. But outside of that, so we can discuss the pikeach, where he's sound mind, then temporary insanity, and then he becomes sound again. But again, at the time when he received the pikeach, then is charish and pikeach. Same thing in terms of sight. In other words, he was sighted when he received the get, then temporarily lost his sight, and then becomes sighted again when delivering. So again, at the critical points of the commissioning and the giving of the get to the shliach, and then at the delivery of the get, so at those points, as long as he was in a state of being a bar hachi, even though in the interim he lost it for a little bit, so the Mishnah says, that's fine. Zaklal kosher tchiloso v'sofa bedas kosher. And the Mishnah says that at the end very succinctly, as long as tchiloso and sofa he was bedas, so then it would be acceptable. Now bishlam echereshot bekatan delab bnei dea ninu over kochavim delab bnei delab bar heterahu. So in terms of the delivery of the get and becoming a shliach, I understand chereshot v'katan, they don't have das. To be a shliach means that you have to have mental competency, and they don't. And that I get. And as far as the guy is concerned, I also understand. In other words, he can't be a shliach. Do you know why he can't be a shliach? Because he does not have gittin and kiddushin. In other words, they do have an institution of marriage, but not the way we have it. Not b'toras gittin, not b'toras kiddushin. And so therefore, you can't be a shlech for you, for something that you yourself simply do not have a chelek in. El Asuma, but the Gemara says, but here's where I'm going to struggle, and that is a blind person. Why can't the blind person facilitate and become the shliach of a get? Amaylo. So I'm Rav Shesha, l'fishin yodem mimino lo lamino snow. So Rav Shesha gives the following proposal. Mind you, by the way, I think, I'm sure others have made this observation, but Rav Shesha himself was blind. Rav Yosef, who we're about to see in a moment, is also blind. So interesting that we are discussing whether or not a blind person can or cannot deliver a get, and the discussion is being had by Amoraim, who themselves happen to be blind. Okay, good. So so Rav Shesha says, "Lefi sheni yodeh, mimino lo leminosno." So Rav Shesha says, "I'll tell you why the Suma cannot serve as the shliach laholacha." So he says, "Look." He has das. He's in the parsha of kiddushin. He's in the parsha of gittin. The problem is that he doesn't know who gave it to him, and he doesn't know who he's giving it to. In other words, his lack of sight will prevent him from proper identification. Maskala Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says that's ridiculous. Now again, Rav Yosef, Rav Shesha, they both were blind. Just once you know that, just then thinking about their dialogue over here makes it so much more interesting. So, Maskala Rav Yosef, Heich Suma Mutar B'Ishto, Heich Bnei Adam Mutar B'Nei Shosem B'Layla. So, how can a blind person be with his wife at night? He doesn't know that it's his wife. And the answer, of course, is he does. And for that matter, anybody even sighted. So, they're going to be with their wives at night. In other words, at night it's dark. So, how do they know it's their wife? The answer is they know. They know. So the Gemara says, Ela B'Tfiya Seina D'Kala, Hachanami B'Tfiya Seina D'Kala. Because seeing is just one of our ways of perception. In other words, we have many senses of the body, and we have senses, other senses of our body help with identification. The Gemara over here really is focusing on the sense of hearing, but okay. In other words, so when you hear the voice, and you know, so you have voice recognition. Excuse me. So the Gemara's answer is very simple, and that is that a blind person will be able to identify, and they'll know. They'll know who their wife is, and they'll know who's giving them the get, and they'll know who they're delivering the get. They know. So now, we have to reset the question. So who can't deliver the get? Assume it can't deliver the get. But why? And it's not because they can't identify. They can identify. So Elam Rav Yosef, Hacha b'chutz ha'aretz askinan, debay lamemer b'fanenechem v'la matzi lamemer. Now, so Rav Yosef now is going to give his shot in the Mishnah. We are not talking about Stam just a deliverer of a get. If we are, that would be fine. Assume it can deliver the get. The problem is that we're coming in from outside of Eretz Yisrael, and we go back to what we learned in the beginning of the Masechta. In order to deliver the get, you must say that it was written in front of me, and you must say it was signed in front of me. And the Suma cannot say that, meaning he could say the words, but it's not true. In other words, it was b'fanei nechtam, it was signed in front of me. So in other words, Rachmanus, he can't say that. He does, simply does know that it was signed in front of him. So Amar le'abaye ela me'ata. Pasuch v'nistama dematzi amar hachinam dekasher. So the Gemara says, okay, so if you're right, so now, let's say when he was given the get to deliver, he had his sight. And then Rachmanis, as he's delivering, so he loses his sight. So now, if the only problem is b'fanenechtam, could such an individual say it? The answer, of course, is yes. Even though currently he can't see, but when he was there for the writing of the get, he could see. And so therefore, his statement of b'fanei nechtam is 100% true, even though his current condition is that he can't see. Now, why can't we just simply say, well, that's good, it works. The Gemara says the problem with that is that, I go back to the Mishnah, I'm medayik in the Mishnah. V'haketani patoch v'nistama v'chazav v'nispatech kasher. Chazav v'nispatech in lo chazav v'nispatech lo. Because the Mishnah's example was very clear. He had sight when he was given the get. He then traveled in en route. He lost his sight, then got to the point of destination, and his sight came back. In such a situation, the get's going to be a good get, which means that if he didn't get his sight back, the get's not going to be a good get. So the Gemara pushes back. No. So the Gemara says it could very well be that even if he didn't get his sight back, the get would be a good get. Ah, I did the tani shapo v'nishtate v'chazav v'nishtape taima. So Tananami Pasuch Vinistama Vachazav Nispatach. Why did the Mishnah give the example of had it, lost it, had it? Because in the case of mental competency, there you need all three. You need that when he got it, he had his mental competency. He lost it. But in order for him to be able to successfully deliver the get, he must regain his mental competency when he's delivering the get. So when it comes to being a shoteh, so there you have to have gotten your mental faculties back when you deliver the get. And because the Mishnah had to have done that over there, so for purposes of symmetry, so we do the same thing for the sight and lost of sight. But the truth of the matter is that for re'iyah, for seeing, so as long as you had it when you were given the get, that's enough. Even the Brahmanis, you lose your sight on your way to delivering the get, and even though you haven't regained your sight, you still would be a kasher shliach. Am Ravashi Deganami Diktani Yizah Klal Kol Shetchilas V'Sofa B'Das Kasher V'Lo Ketani Kol Shetchilas V'Sofa B'Kasher Kasher Shma Mina. And then Ravashi makes a excellent diak. He doesn't need me to tell him that's excellent, but then he makes an excellent diak in the Mishnah, because if you read the Mishnah really carefully, when the Mishnah says Zah Klal, the summary statement. It says, kol shetchilas v'sofo, bida'as. What has to be there both at the beginning and at the end? Das has to be there at the beginning and the end. But other conditions like seeing, that doesn't need to be at the beginning of the end. Okay, good. Abami name me Rabbi Ami. Evan Moshe Yasser Shlich L'Kabel get Isha Miyad Bala. Okay, can an Evan Kanani serve as a Shlich? Okay, so. We know who can't be a shliach. We went over the list very clearly. Cherishot v'katan cannot. Suma, under certain circumstances, cannot. Nachri, cannot. How about Neve Kanani? Good question. So that's what we're discussing right now. So, and can the Eve Kananis be serving as a shliach to receive on her behalf? Now, is it her Eve Kanani? So Rashi says no. Rashi writes at the bottom over here, Mashi yasa shliach, liisha eved shel kol adam, Mashi yasa shliach, liisha ba'alma. It certainly sounds like from Rashi that it's not your eved kananim, you meaning the woman. And by the way, Rashi says that when the Gemara is asking over here, it could be going on the shliach, laholach, it could be going on the shliach lekabbalah. Okay, I didn't say this at the beginning of the Mishnah, and I should have. Okay, but it's not too late. Starting to get too late, but it's not too late. Okay, when we talk about shlichus, like what we're doing today in the second half of today's daf, so shlich can operate in two functions in terms of a get. In other words, there's a shlich l'alach and there's a shlich l'kabbalah. In other words, the husband, as far as the Torah is concerned, the husband is handing the get over to his wife. However, in other words, you can appoint an agent, and that agent will take my place. Shlichus, we all know. So either you can have the shlichus from the husband end, or you can have the shlichus from the wife end. In other words, the shlich laholacha, that is his proxy to go ahead and deliver the get. A shlich lekabbalah, that's her proxy to go ahead and to receive the get. Rashi writes over here that when we're discussing the Evikanani, there is no distinction to be made whether or not we're talking about shlich laholacha or shlich lekabbalah. We just simply want to know, can the Evikanani be serving as a shliach? And I'm just simply adding that from Rashi, it also sounds like it's not her Eved Kanani, because presumably if it's her Eved Kanani, the moment it goes into the Eved Kanani's hand, and then it basically is hers. Mashakana Eved Kana Rabo. Okay, anyway. So the question really is just a question of whether an Eved Kanani can function as a shliach. So Amalu Medikapasole Lo V'Kochavim, so Mechlal David Kasher. So now what we'll do as we turn to the Amud Beis of today's daf is we'll make a simple diuk in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah said, who can't be a shliach? A guy. Oh. The Mishnah is really giving us the limits of who can't be. Short of the guy, of course, you have an Evikanani. Evikanani is not a guy. Evikanani was a guy, but once an Evikanani is purchased by a Jew, an Evikanani now is Shaykh B'mitzvos. Evikanani admittedly cannot marry a Jew, but Shaykh B'mitzvos. So if the Mishnah is telling us that a guy can't be a Shliach, Meduyak in the Mishnah is that a Evikanani can be a Shliach. So Amar of Asi, Amar of Yochanan, he never knows a Shliach, the Kabbal get li Isha, Miad Bala, Lefisheina, but Torah is getting the Kedushin. So Rav Yochanan says, look, I'm going to fundamentally disagree. Meaning, I don't know what to do with your diuk. Your diuk is good. But Rav Yochanan says, but I'll tell you the problem. The problem is really simple. And that is that in order to be a shliach for something, you have to be in the parsha. Now, when it comes to Nevikanani, is there gittin? Is there kedushin? The answer is no. In other words, again, a Nevikanani has some institution of marriage, but it doesn't operate through gittin and kedushin. And since there are eino b'taras, getting the kedushin, therefore they can't serve as a shliach for a get. Maska la revelazer time of bimilsa de leisa, ha bimilsa de isa, kasher. So now, for Rav Yochanan, you're introducing me to this idea that to be a shliach, you have to be in the parsha. So if you're not in the parsha, you can't be a shliach. If you're in the parsha, you can be a shliach. Let's test your theory. Vaho vikochavim vakusi de isno b'taras truma de nafshayiv de nan. So, step number one. A guy can be mafresh truma. Now, I know this is going to sound a little bit strange, but, and this is a lengthier discussion. I'm saying it way too quickly right now, but I'll say it. Right? Let's say a guy owns land in Eretz Yisrael and grows produce over there. So, that produce is chayv and truma samaisos. It is open to a debate, but for our purposes, for today's daf, let's just present it like it's pasha. So that means now, okay, so he's growing produce in Eretz Yisrael, it's chayv and trumas and maisos. Who's taking off the trumas and maisos? The answer is, he is. The guy's going to take off trumas and maisos. So now, if all this is right, let's just right now assume it's right. So now he's in the parsha, the guy's in the parsha of trumas and maisos. So he's in the parsha. So now if that's true, he should be able to be a shliach, right?
No.
You know my setup already. So v'tanan ove kochav mishatarim shal Yisrael afilu bereshu sein truma so truma. So my time alav v'shem dechsev atem. So atem ma atem Yisrael afshu chachem Yisrael. So in other words, why can't he? According to you, Rav Yochanan, if you're in the parsha, you could be a shliach. By truma samaisos, I showed you that he's in the parsha and he can't be a shliach. Do you know why he can't be a shliach? Because only Yisrael could be a shliach, and the guy's not Yisrael. And I would now push back on the Evikanani as well. The Evikanani is not Yisrael, so he can't be a shliach. But you're saying he could be because he's in the... I'm sorry. You're saying he can't be because he's on the parsha. No. So I'm a debate Rav Yane Lo. Ma atem b'nei bris, afshu chachem b'nei bris. Wrong about shliach. In other words, you're saying that the shliach has to be gam atem, he has to be like you. Like you meaning being Yisrael. I'm going to broaden it a little bit. No. In order to be a shliach, you don't have to be a Yisrael. You have to be a Ben Bris. Someone who's in the covenant. In other words, and over here, let's even take it literally. Bris Mila. Evikanani have a Bris Mila? The answer, of course, is yes, he does. I'm Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Eina Evin Nasser Shlech, L'Kabal Gedi Shamiyad Baal, L'Lefi Sheina, B'Tarvus Gittin V'Kiddushin. So, so Rabbi Yochanan over here, says that an Eva cannot be as a shliach to be mekabel get because he's on the parsha. Af api sheshaninu hare at shivcha uvladech ben chorin im haisa ubra zachsalo. And then what seems to be a totally disconnected statement, and that is that a pregnant woman can on one hand become a shivcha kananis, but also receive a shtar shichur for her unborn baby. Okay. Now that seems to have come right out of left field. So my imaisa uber zach solo. So the Gemara says, what just happened over there? The first statement of Rav Yochanan is totally relevant and germane to our discussion today. The second statement seems to be totally immaterial. So the Gemara says, kiasa Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda amar Rav Yochanan tarti amar. So the Gemara says that really Rav Yochanan was making two separate points. The first point is, can a Kanani be a shliach for getting in kedushin? The answer is no. Because he's in a b'taras. He's not in the parsha. Good. And now, Nirin Dvarim Shaevid Mikabo get lechavero. Miad Rabba Shal Chavero, Avalo Miad Rabba Shalo. And then Rav Yochanan was making a separate statement, meaning the second point of Rav Yochanan was in fact a totally separate statement, having to do with, can an Eved Kanani receive a Shtar Shechrer on behalf of another Eved Kanani? And Rav Yochanan on that says, yes, I think he can. I think he can. Now, Im Lach Shach Adam. So the, but however, it has to be from another owner, can't be from his very own owner. And the reason why, as Rashi points out over here, is because if it's from his very own owner, every time his owner gives him the Shtar Shechrer for somebody else, so what happens is that it doesn't enter into somebody else's hand. Masha kana eved kana rabba. Okay. V'im lach shach adam v'lomar zu alach shnuya im aisa ubra zachzalo. So now, I know somebody's going to come over and whisper the following. Do you know what we all agree to? A pregnant woman can receive a shtar shechrer on behalf of her unborn baby. And everyone agrees to that. Well, how does that work? Meaning you're telling me that you can't receive a shtar shechrer from your owner on behalf of another Eved Kanani. So the Gemara says, yeah, so Amar lo, so to that, Rav Yochanan says, I know what the answer is. Shnei gedolei hador, pirshu asadavar, Rabbi Zev, Rav Shmuel, bar Rav Yitzchak, chadamar hamani Rabbi hi, damar meshachar chatzi avdo kana. So one approach is that, you know, what you could do with an Eved Kanani is that basically you could treat it like stock, like shares. And what you could do is that you could free shares of an Eved Kanani. In other words, if we're going to take, let's say, the total value of the Eved Kanani being 100 shares, so what you could do is that you could free 50 of those shares. Okay? That's one approach. And now when you go over to the pregnant Shifra Kananis and give her the Shtar Shechrer for her Ubar. So in other words, basically what you're doing is you're just simply freeing a percentage of the Eved Kanani. In this case, the Shifra. Chanamar Maitama de Rebbe Baha Kasavra Ubar Yerachimo Hu Venasa Kemishik Nalo Echad Me Evaraham. So, and another approach is that how do we view the fetus? We view the fetus as an Aver, right? So this is a constant debate throughout Shas, uber yerech imo or uber lav yerech imohu. How to view the fetus as an appendage or as a non-appendage with lots of ramifications. But for today's daf, we're only focusing on one ramification. And that is notably in terms of whether or not she is going to be able to be receiving the Shtar Shechrer for the fetus. So another approach in terms of understanding is that really the fetus is just simply an aver. It's an appendage, and what you can do is that you can receive a Shtar Shechrer on behalf of one of your appendages. Happens to be the appendage over here. It happens to be the fetus. Okay. That's another way to say it over. Okay. But that last discussion on today's daf is not relevant to the rest of today's daf. It just happens to be that Rav Yochanan was making a separate point altogether. We're going to stop over here, and tomorrow, obviously, we're going to pick it up with the Mishnah. Let's review. Chereshot v'katan can write the get. That was point number one of today's daf. But literally, there are two totally different ways of understanding the Mishnah. Either the Mishnah is a function of Rebbe Lazar, or the Mishnah is a function of Rebbe Meir, and that is going to play the difference of whether or not I need Omid Agabav or I don't need Omid Agabav. If I hold like Rebbe Lazar, I do need Omid Agabav because you need Lishma and Ksiva. According to Rebbe Meir, I mamash don't need Omid Agabav whatsoever because Chereshot v'katan, you don't need any das in terms of the writing of the get. According to Rebbe Meir. Good. That's the first half of today's daf in a nutshell. Second half of today's daf, shlichus. So we opened up the door today into a discussion we're going to be having numerous times throughout our Masechta in terms of a shliach, who can and who cannot be a shliach. So who cannot be a shliach? Chereshot v'katan, suma, and a guy cannot be a shliach. Okay, first discussion we had today was why can't a suma be a shliach? He's a bar da'as. And so the Gemara says is that we'll have to limit the Summa case to he's coming from Chutz Arts and he must be saying b'fanei nechtam, and the Summa cannot. Okay, that is point number one. And then the second point, which we discussed at length today, can an Eved Kanani be a shliach for the get? And the question of he's not in the parsha of getting in kedushin since he's not in the parsha, therefore he can't deliver the get, at least according to Rabbi Yochanan.